G.K. Chesterton noted that leisure has three different meanings. The first, he wrote, is being allowed to do something. The second is being allowed to do anything. And the third, and perhaps most rare and precious, is being allowed to do nothing. This is Dr. Jim Tunkwitch, and you're listening to the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College. Memorial Day has come and gone, and with school terms ending, it's time for vacation. Ah, to get away, and what? Run from cathedral to museum to monument to scenic vista? Deal with airports, TSA, rental cars, and driving? Work on your golf game? Rise up early to fish? Sit on the beach, hike in the mountains, read, do nothing? Try hard to avoid that all-too-common lament that I've returned from vacation only to find that I need a vacation. What's the point of vacations anyway? Is taking a vacation the same as leisure? If not, what is leisure and how are they different? Well, philosophers take vacations the same as the rest of us, and I asked Wyoming Catholic College Associate Professor of Philosophy, Dr. Michael Bolin, what he and his family did on the vacation from which they just returned.
So we went to San Diego and did a lot of the touristy things that one does in San Diego. I had not been there before, so we went to the San Diego Zoo, which is beautiful, toured the Midway. That's a decommissioned aircraft carrier that's now a museum, which is also quite fascinating. And we took the kids to Legoland, which is, of course, their favorite thing. But but yeah, all the usual things. It was beautiful. I really enjoyed the zoo. So
it was an active vacation. No sitting around doing blessed nothing.
It was not a lot of blessed nothing, unfortunately. Maybe we'll get into that, but that's a little bit of a downside when one only has so many days and so much to do. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of busy, although I wouldn't say it wasn't over the top. So it did have that feature. I don't know if we're going to talk about Joseph Pieper's
I was just going to introduce that. You regularly teach Joseph Pieper's essay, Leisure, the Basis of Culture. How does Pieper define leisure, and what, if anything, does that have to do with going on vacation?
Let me begin by saying what Pieper says leisure is not. And it's not simply entertainment or recreation or not working. He defines it more as a kind of openness to reception of creation. So it requires a kind of silence and stillness and receiving creation. So it's a common idea that leisure is for the sake of work, to get you relaxed, you can go back to the office. And I think Pieper is quite clear that's not what it's for. Work is for the sake of leisure, not the other way around. But in order to see that, you've got to realize that leisure doesn't just mean entertainment. So one way of not having leisure would exactly be the amusement culture, right, where all you do is entertain yourself, and that's not the right way to think about vacation or recreation, it seems to me. One wants to actually have the time to relax, and just relax in the sense of not be spending all your day running around looking at all the attractions, but actually have the time to receive creation. It has a very religious aspect for Pieper, that is a contemplation of the created reality really bleeds into contemplation of God. I guess that's a start, but
our vacations tend not to be that way.
Right, that's sort of the problem I was alluding to early on, right? When you only have 5 days and you have all these things you want to do, it's easy to let it get too hectic. And I was pretty happy with what we did. I didn't think it got into that. But we have a cultural issue, right, where we moderns as a culture don't really see what people was trying to tell us about leisure and work. We do tend to, at least on the subconscious level, even if we say, vocalize the things I'm saying now, we tend to still think of the leisure vacation as being for the sake of work. And so we haven't internalized this. And so we put that together with the problem of leisure time is limited and you want to do these things, and we tend to do what Pieper says not to do anyway and make it overly hectic and not really give ourselves time to just receive the beauty of creation. This, where was it? Maybe it was at the zoo, I can't remember where. Maybe the mission, the San Diego mission, which we also visited. We came across this elementary school group with their chaperones, and I actually observed it was exactly that, because there was, you know, there's this one kid who wants to stop and spend more time looking at the giraffes, and the teacher says, no, we don't have time for that on the schedule. So it's always go, 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 right? And that's exactly what you don't want to do. But I agree that that is our tendency. So I think sometimes we just have to make the decision to say, yeah, we're not going to do everything that could be done, because if we do that, we're not going to do the things we do do well. We're not going to give ourselves time to actually appreciate them, right? You go to the zoo because you want to appreciate God's creation more. Yeah, not because you want to get back to the office, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think of the old movie, if this is Tuesday, if it's Tuesday, this must be Belgium. You know, about this sort of hectic, whirlwind European bus tour vacation where people don't even exactly know where they are, except that it's Tuesday, so I guess we're in Brussels.
Yeah, there's sort of an irony there, right? That if you do that too much, it won't even achieve the goal of getting you back to work well. You won't relax even in a physical sense. Mm-hmm. So there's some obvious downsides there. But
now the other side of it is that you work in order to have leisure time, have free time to retire early maybe, and then that's not exactly what Pieper has in mind for leisure either. You know, sort of constantly on a trip or planning the next trip or sitting around and really not having any purpose. That's not leisure, is it?
No. Well, another part of the issue here, I think, is that another aspect of our work culture, I was talking about limited time earlier, is that that's kind of the way it's set up. You know, you might work all year and have 2 weeks off, and then that's when you have your leisure time, as our culture sees it. But if that's the way your life is, it seems to me inevitable that the leisure time you think you do have is going to be overly hectic and not really true leisure. So it's, on some level, we need to reform the work culture to fix that. We need to somehow organize our lives such that even our non-vacation time is still more leisurely. I'm a terrible person to speak to this, because a lot of my job is kind of leisurely, is an intellectual life. And that's not, I know, what most of us have.
Well, and yet the school year with the classes and preparing and grading papers, it's a pretty hectic time around here.
It's hectic in its own way. That's right. And, you know, the actual time in the classroom can be pretty leisurely. I fully admit that grading anything is terrible, but it's not leisurely. But a lot of the actual classroom time is. And that's obviously one of the reasons I'm here, things I like most about it. But I think we as a culture just need to see that needs to be more true about everyone. I mean, even the guy bagging groceries at the grocery store, we need to not as a culture think of him as that's who he is. Maybe that's how he earns his living, but he needs time at home to read and reflect and contemplate. And that can be his leisure, not just those 2 weeks, or at least part of his leisure, not just his 2 weeks a year or whatever, where he goes to San Diego or whatever. But so we have a pretty broad... And I think people would say this, and I think he's right about it, a pretty broad cultural issue with the way we view leisure and work, and it tends to have the effect of destroying even the leisure time that we think we do have.
Yeah, well, having lived in the New York City area, in Boston area, in Washington, D.C., and out in Silicon Valley, I mean, I knew people who worked 80-hour weeks, you know, who were working on Saturdays, who had to go to meetings that were called for 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And a lot of it is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, that your options vest in 5 years. So during that time, you're basically an indentured servant. And even on vacation, you've got your phone next to you. You've got you've got to check your email, and it is a twisted work culture.
Instant email is a terribly dehumanizing invention. It really is true. I can almost understand the person who wants to work so that he can be done or retire early or whatever, assuming that he knows what he's going to be doing at that time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think it's even worse than that, where it's just not even a question of I have an end that I'm getting to with my work, but I just need to get ahead in terms of my peers or whatever, in a very overly competitive work culture. And that I think is pretty dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. Where work becomes the end of human life, which seems very backwards to me.
Pieper includes things like going to church as part of leisure. And many people take a vacation from church and even devotions as well as taking a vacation from home and from work. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
No. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that for Pieper, leisure has this very contemplative aspect, which bleeds over into the religious aspect. And that's because, as I was saying a minute ago, for Pieper, leisure is fundamentally a kind of attitude by which one becomes receptive to reality, right? And that might start with the sort of nature, that obvious empirical reality, like the zoo, right? Eventually, if you're, I think Pieper's thinking, if you're genuinely open, that's going to become receptiveness to sort of divine and supernatural realities as well. And of course, then the practice of one's religion is, for people, very much a part of that, and maybe the ultimate goal of it, in fact. So yeah, if leisure is this sort of openness to reality, and reality includes the divine, the supernatural, it seems like those things are going to have to go together.
And that carries over for Pieper into heaven. Is that correct?
I think so. That's the ultimate leisure, right? It's the beatitude, so.
Yeah. Well, having said all that, what made your vacation a success, assuming that it was a success? Did you and your family enjoy leisure? Are you recharged?
I think it was pretty good. Yeah, I would say it was a success. We didn't get to do everything that we would like to do, but as we were saying, maybe that's a good thing. So we really enjoyed the time we had. So.
Well, and you certainly went to a beautiful place, just walking along the Embarcadero or out to Coronado Island. It's
We had this nice walk along the beach, see the tide pools and the seals. And it's beautiful things.
Yeah. I should add that you have younger children, so your choice of vacation is...
This is true, right? If it were just us, we probably wouldn't have gone to Legoland.
Some of you may be thinking, gosh, it's just like a bunch of academics to introduce philosophy into a family visit to Legoland. Well, I'm afraid it can't be avoided. The liberal arts are, after all, about forming the habits of mind and heart that befit free people. And vacation, like every other part of life, should be ordered not to human license, doing whatever the heck we want, but to true human freedom. And that includes true human leisure. So wherever you go for vacation this summer, think through the philosophy of leisure and enjoy the rest and the freedom of getting away. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.